Canadian Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings in for Goo. Brad Graham coming up in an hour. Talk some 49ers, SF Niners. Channel on YouTube. Does great work. We've had him on before. And he always provides terrific info. And I'm sure he'll do the same in an hour. And now we're into one of my favorite things, which is parsing words.
Yeah, I know.
Parsing words.
And I think you caught me.
Oh, what? No.
I'm just going to go out and admit it because...
Oh, okay. We were talking about franchise quarterbacks who went down the list. You had your judgments.
Yep.
They were just judgments, opinions. So we weren't necessarily wrong about any of them. What's on your mind?
Well, I did immediately say S for C.J. Stroud, and that was wrong because he has not received a second contract. So he's in the Purdy category, which is guys that I believe franchises want to be their franchise quarterback, but are not yet.
So I was giving this a lot of thought during the break. What if I said something like this? Purdy's the Niners franchise quarterback right now, but he's not a franchise quarterback.
How so?
I think at one, let's use one of the worst quarterbacks in history. I think there was a time when Jamarcus Russell was the Raiders franchise quarterback.
Wait, what?
That they decided after they drafted him that he was going to be the franchise quarterback. It comes with it comes with getting drafted where he got drafted.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the Niners had that same plan for Trey Lance.
Right. That's what I mean.
Would you have ever called him their franchise quarterback?
I would have never.
Where I'm going to parse your words.
No. What I'm saying is, was Trey Lance ever the 49ers franchise quarterback? No, he was never the 49ers franchise quarterback. He was clearly drafted to be the franchise quarterback.
Yes.
Okay. Now, that's what I mean. Caleb Williams right now is the Bears franchise quarterback.
He is drafted to be their franchise quarterback.
Okay, so
but he is not yet their franchise QB.
Well, and that's not the I don't want to get into that debate.
Okay.
Because I think he'll be their quarterback for the next couple years. And then they'll determine whether they're going to pay him. So that's kind of what I mean. I think at any given moment, yes, you can be the franchise quarterback for a team. But the next step is then to actually become a franchise quarterback. Not the Niners franchise quarterback. He'll be that. But actually a franchise quarterback, which is somebody you kind of entrust your offense to for multiple years. And if it comes with a contract, fine. But to me, it's do you have your guy for the foreseeable future?
Well, but okay. So I think we're.
And
just,
I know we're going.
Well, I think we're splitting hairs here. Like you're saying, someone who I don't know. Like when I hear franchise quarterback, I don't think that there just is a bunch of those around. Now, we went down the list, and I told you who I didn't think was one who I did. So, Kirk Cousins, to me, is not a franchise quarterback. Otherwise, he would still be playing for the same franchise.
So it's about tenure with the team.
Yes.
Okay, to me, it's...
If you are a franchise quarterback, and I say the franchise, you should think of that person. Yes or no? When I say Jalen Hurts, what do you think of?
I think of the Eagles.
When I say the Buffalo Bills, who do you think of? Josh Allen.
4 years ago, if I say the Minnesota Vikings, what do you say?
Kirk Cousins.
So why isn't he now?
Because he's on the Falcons.
But he played how many years in Minnesota? Like how many years?
5 years.
So that's not enough. You see what I'm saying? Like
you asked me if he's currently a franchise quarterback. He's not.
You said no.
He's not.
Well, that might have something to do with Penix being drafted.
No, that has to do with him not being a Viking anymore.
So let's just say...
Before that, a Commander.
Well, let's just say hypothetically you play 5 years for three teams. Like, are you never a franchise quarterback, even though you were starting quarterback for three NFL teams?
If Kirk Cousins was the caliber of quarterback that, I don't know, it was an elite, you know, playoff-winning, dominant quarterback, I don't think he would be on a different team. You know, at this point in his career, he's not on the team because he got injured and he was 35 or 36 years old. They wanted to move in a different direction. But Washington chose to let Kirk Cousins walk.
Right.
Why?
Because of Robert Griffin III.
Because they didn't believe he was their franchise quarterback.
Well, he also wasn't drafted to be their franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but he became one, or he could have become
one. Oh, did you slip? Did you slip?
All right, let's use that with Purdy. Was Purdy drafted to be their franchise quarterback?
Nope.
Yeah, he can become one.
Yeah, he can. He can. First of all, I don't necessarily think that you're right or I'm right on this particular way, because I think it's just how we're viewing a franchise quarterback. How many teams right now do you think believe that they have their quarterback who will be their quarterback in 4 years? Do you think that's, seriously, do you think it's all 32 teams?
No.
Like, who doesn't have one?
Like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The New Orleans Saints.
So, okay.
You know, I mean, you just think about the bottom feeders. Like, I think that's why the Vikings, that's why they drafted J.J. McCarthy.
Like, there's somebody, 415, how about Derek Carr? And I kind of think...
Not anymore.
Like, it doesn't... To me, it has less to do with how great you are as opposed to how long you're somewhere.
Do the New York Jets have a franchise quarterback right now?
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old, coming off an Achilles tear.
But, like, to me, in a way, he's the definition of a franchise quarterback because of his sheer greatness. And if he would have, if he's an attitude problem and would have been traded six times during the course of his career, I think I'd probably still say he's a franchise quarterback. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong because you wouldn't consider him that if he played for too many teams, but, you know, it's just a matter of how you look at it.
But you asked me if I believe a quarterback will be there in 4 years. I don't think Aaron Rodgers will be quarterbacking the Jets in 4 years.
Probably not.
He's going to be 44 years old.
No, I hear you.
You know, so do the Pittsburgh Steelers have a franchise quarterback right now? I would say no. Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are in different positions.
So if you don't have a starting, if you don't have a franchise quarterback, what do you have? Like a stopgap?
Yeah, I think you have a starter, and then you try and figure out what your long term plan is at quarterback afterwards. You know, I think the Steelers thought that Kenny Pickett might be the guy for them, and then he was uncovered as not being the guy. You know, and so they went in a different plan because they want to still want to compete this season. They still have a good roster. So let's go out and find a starting caliber or two starting caliber quarterbacks, and let's let them compete for the job. I think the Jets wanted to win now. So let's go trade for a quarterback that can help us win now, but is not expected to be our guy in 4 years. We'll figure that out later.
Well, I got one for you.
Okay.
And I'm not... What about Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
He was paid to be... Do you think he's going to finish his second contract in New York? I don't think he will.
Probably not.
So then he would, by my criteria, not be a franchise quarterback.
Can you be a franchise quarterback 1 year and not a franchise quarterback in the next year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But if you're young, you're never... But if you're on your first...
That's where I do think sample size comes into this.
And that's all I'm getting at here. I'm trying to figure out when a player goes from
I would not call Brock Purdy a franchise quarterback yet.
I completely agree with you on that. I think the difference is that you and I are seeing is you think there's a level of greatness to a franchise quarterback, and I look at a franchise quarterback as did the dude start for like 5 years in a row for a team, even if he wasn't very good? Well, then he was their franchise quarterback, even though he stunk. That's all. But no, I'm not, I want to get back to the original issue of asking Vernon Davis, and you wanted to throw in something else you heard him say, I think. But I asked Vernon Davis, hey, you like Brock Purdy? Yeah, I like Brock Purdy. But, you know, he's still got a lot to prove. And the bottom line is he said there's not enough data on him right now. I mean, in a way, think about this. Think about how great of a position the 49ers are in. And this is where I think maybe we don't think enough about Kyle Shanahan. He drafted Trey Lance to be a franchise quarterback, and Trey Lance never materialized. So he drafted a guy to be a franchise quarterback that he never saw, or saw in college, or saw in a workout. They now get to decide whether Brock Purdy can be their franchise quarterback, and they have the luxury of seeing him play for 2.5 years because they didn't draft him in the first round. Like, to me, that's an incredibly advantageous position to be in if you're the Niners. And that, to me, is the reason why I say it's all about this year for Brock Purdy. If he's good, then he's going to get paid. He's their franchise quarterback. And a franchise quarterback, if he's great, should elevate your team's play while he's playing quarterback. You know what I mean?
I don't see how he doesn't get paid.
Well, he's going to get paid. It's probably just going to be a matter of how much. I mean, I can't envision a scenario where Brock Purdy's healthy this year and he doesn't get a contract extension. I can't. If he's healthy, how's he not going to get a contract extension unless what we've seen for the first year and a half is a mirage, which I don't believe it is.
Look, this is a Doctor Strange one case scenario. The only way that we'll find out is if it doesn't happen is if 2020 plays itself out again. Remember what happened that year?
An injury?
Yeah, to the quarterback.
Right.
And then that draft, they took Trey Lance because they told on themselves how they felt about Jimmy Garoppolo.
True.
If that same scenario plays out this season, I still think they pay Brock Purdy.
One more time, please.
All right. So the 49ers,
yep,
coming off of 2019, they made the Super Bowl, they lost to the Chiefs, right?
Yep.
2020, Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt.
Yep.
They end up with they trade up, with the, you know, with the third overall pick.
Right.
They take Trey Lance.
Yep.
They wanted to go get a quarterback. Number one, because you had a chance to, you were high enough, you felt like there was a guy that was good enough. But number two, because you didn't trust the guy, you didn't have a franchise quarterback. I don't think you draft someone like Trey Lance unless you believe that Jimmy Garoppolo's not your long-term future. If the same thing happens this season, God forbid, something happens to your quarterback, and you end up with the third overall pick.
Okay.
I still think they pay Brock Purdy. And I don't think that they draft a quarterback.
That's a good way to look at it. It's fair.
That's how much I think that they believe in Brock Purdy.
408. Dumb take, Steiny. Oh, okay. Purdy is a franchise quarterback. You say Aaron Rodgers is, yet Purdy is more accomplished the last two seasons. Well, I think that's recency bias.
I just have a definition for mine. You know, you have a different set of criteria.
No, I mean, I think we agree on 90% of it. But and the bottom line is this. If I said Brock Purdy's a franchise quarterback, I'm with you. I'd say probably pretty soon. But right now, no. And one of the reasons, there's two facets as it relates to Purdy that I don't take into consideration for any other quarterback. And one is, he's only played 21 games. So anybody who's a rookie, you're going to want to see him do it for 2 or 3 years before you either anoint him that or you pay him that. The other part of the equation that I can't escape, and this is one of those things where I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I will not believe it until I see it, is that Kyle Shanahan believes Purdy is his franchise quarterback. I have every reason to believe Kyle Shanahan thinks that Brock Purdy is the franchise quarterback, but I believe that there were probably times when he thought that of Jimmy Garoppolo during his tenure. So, I get we're parsing words here, but
the one thing we agree on is not yet. Yes, I don't think so yet. My point is only, I don't want to throw that term around loosely, because if I go Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Hurts, C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Brock Purdy, Tua Tagovailoa, Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, Kyler Murray, Geno Smith, Caleb Williams, Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Anthony Richardson, if I go down the list, but it sounds like by your definition, there's like 20 franchise quarterbacks, and I just don't believe that there's that many in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think, I think you're probably right. That is the way I think of it. And it's
like two-thirds of the guys in the league, or 80% of the quarterbacks under center, to me, cannot be franchise quarterbacks. And
Go down the middle of that list. Oh, okay. Like, let's go to Prescott.
Yeah.
I know he's been the starting quarterback for the Cowboys forever, but, and I'll say it,
he has been the Cowboys franchise quarterback.
No doubt. But he's had no success. Like if you're, all I'm saying is, if you're guru and you think that Dak Prescott isn't very good, he might say he's not a franchise quarterback. That's the point. Is he's not good enough to be a franchise quarterback, even though...
Anymore. Because he did pay him. So the reason why he might let Dak Prescott walk in free agency next year is because he doesn't feel like he's the Cowboys franchise quarterback anymore.
Okay.
And I think that's what we'll find out.
JT! JT's in Manteca. What's going on, JT? Well, then the question becomes, at some point, should the 49ers make Brock Purdy their franchise quarterback? What's up, JT?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Great conversation.
Oh, thank you.
I agree about 90% on, you know, most of what you guys are saying. I think where someone might not or stop becoming the franchise quarterback, the quarterback room is open to more than friendly competition. When a guy
JT, call back. You broke up. You're breaking up a little bit. You're breaking up a little bit. So let's go to Bobby. Bobby's in Los Altos. Hey, Bobby, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Actually, the last time I think I was on him, Giddens, he gave me the quick hook. What? Cut me after 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So hopefully...
I remember that.
Let me stay on a little longer. 2 points. Number one, real quickly, as relates to Brock Purdy, of course, he's a franchise quarterback. If you guys think something is better is coming along, that's fine. But he's somebody's franchise quarterback, and I hope he's the Niners. I knew after 5 throws, because Herbert was on national television on his first start, I knew he was a franchise quarterback. We knew Burrow was a franchise quarterback after 1 or 2 games, and it's the same thing for Stroud, about half season, maybe a quarter season in. So to say that Brock Purdy isn't a franchise quarterback is comical to me. But here's the reason I called. I feel like my takes are fairly reasonable, but lately I feel like I'm always screaming at the radio. Because I don't really understand. I listened to the opening monologue you guys had, and unfortunately I had to step away from the radio. But if in fact the reason we're having this, you know, first team, you're fielding, you know, more than half the game or whatever it is for this preseason game, is he doesn't feel the team is ready, I find that a comical reason, because he's not even fielding the best team he could have. I don't really know if anyone's done. I'm sure they have. some analytics on what is the actual value of a win in the NFL season, but I guarantee you that it's got to be more than whatever little incremental money Trent Williams is talking about and whatever Brandon Ayuk wants for guaranteed money. So I don't really understand the math. I mean, I get it, trying to save money for Brock Purdy, but again, I don't know why we keep looking 2 years out when we need to focus on this year. So if you want, Shanahan feels like his team isn't ready, then why don't you at least put the best team on the field? And all he's done now, front office I'm talking, is created a situation where Ayuk and Trent Williams are going to get hurt, or they're going to be really bad the first four games of the season. So what was the point of doing this? Like, what did you really save? I don't think it's worth it. That's my opinion. And then if it's really just, hey, I want to see how this team really looks, how bad we might look without these two players, and if we look terrible, then we're going to go and have to pay. I feel like that's a really poor strategy, but I don't know, fellas. I must just not really understand.
So real quick, Bobby, I'd love to for him to answer this. So what you're saying is because Ayuk and Trent Williams aren't there and aren't ready, you wouldn't put these guys out on the field for that game tomorrow night?
Hello?
Yeah, did you hear me?
I wouldn't start the starters for
if you're saying one of the reasons they're not ready is because Ayuk and Trent aren't there, can I assume that you wouldn't be playing the starters like Kyle's planning to tomorrow?
If the reason is that, like you guys said in the opening monologue, this team isn't ready. It needs some real reps before they start on game one, then I think it's comical because you're not even putting the best team out there.
Okay.
If the reason is I got to see how this team does without my two stars to see how desperate I need to be in terms of resolving these contract issues, completely plausible reason. But if it's, hey, I got to get my team ready, I think it's ridiculous for putting team, you know, B-plus out there when for a couple million dollars more, we could have team A out there. And all you're doing is risking injury to your two-star players because they're not going to be ready the first four games of the season.
Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. Don't yell, Bobby. Bobby, I cannot. Let me tell you something about Bobby.
Sorry, I didn't want to talk. I didn't want him to feel like I cut him off.
Let me tell you something about Bobby. It's hard for me to imagine him yelling because he's always very...
I don't think I've ever heard him yell.
Very reasonable.
Maybe
very,
by his own...
Very reasoned.
His own standards, he feels like he was yelling because he had to raise his voice.
Well, if he had to raise his voice, we found out why.
It was
because
you.
Of you.
What?
You cut him off!
When?
Last time he called.
Check the tape.
Last time he called, you stuck it to him.
You do know how difficult it is to run that board,
I absolutely
right?
have no idea.
I know you don't. That's why I asked the question. So
why did you ask a question when you knew... I didn't know how to run the board.
I was doing my Steiny impression.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're behind the board, and oftentimes it's difficult to tell when someone's done. Bobby also may have called as of right now, Steiny.
Yeah.
Right before a break.
Oh, no. I wouldn't put him through there.
You do that all the time.
No.
In fact, I think you were about to go to a call before I highlighted the fact that we're at 26 and we got to get out in a minute.
So you're saying I shouldn't talk to Mar right now in
Unless
San Francisco.
You want Carter to cut her off or him.
Mar, I'm going to take your call on the other side because, yay!
No, please feel free to call back,
God
Bobby.
Forbid
Bobby,
we
go
love past 27.
I swear I love you, Bobby.
That'll break the system. Hey, what's coming up? On the Game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
There's one way to figure this out.
How?
You want to know who a franchise quarterback is and who isn't?
If you say Matt Steinmetz, I swear to God.
I'll be the judge of that. Because that's really, the more I think about it.
I swear to God.
No, I'm being facetious, but what I'm saying is...
Carter, do you have a brick?
It's up to you to decide what a franchise quarterback is. For example, how about this?
Yeah.
Because I think this is well within the realm of possibility. Let's say there's a quarterback out there that I think stinks. Okay.
Well, I'm sure there's more than a few.
Yeah, just about everybody. No, but what about this? I'll tell you what. Hey, Steiny, you like, is Trevor Lawrence a franchise quarterback?
Yeah.
I could see me saying, no. No, he's not good enough. Well, he's going to be their starter for, yeah, it's fine. He's not. But let me tell you who is. Bo Nix.
Oh.
Bo Nix. Is it like, that could be part of it. If you've watched Bo Nix and you are thinking this guy is unbelievable.
Is that a hell of a preseason?
I'm just saying. Like, and I would think that's fair. Bo Nix might be more of a franchise quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. Brock Purdy might be, even though we're kind of saying Brock Purdy's not the franchise quarterback yet, he's very well may be a franchise quarterback and Trevor Lawrence not be one.
No, he's getting there. He's getting there. People would put like Caleb Williams, you know, they'd call him franchise quarterback already.
Yeah.
I really like Caleb Williams. I think he's going to be awesome. But you got to wait and see. Well, all right, let me ask you this, Steiny.
Yeah.
Paolo Banchero. Think he's a franchise player? Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Now, you can be a franchise player. Doesn't mean you have to be a top 10 player.
Sure. Yeah. All right, what about...
You know what?
Yeah. So you see where this is going. Scotty Barnes. Franchise player.
No. I like him, but to me, a franchise player is, yeah, you got to be the best player on your team.
Okay.
And your team's got to be half. Like, who's the worst team in basketball? But see, like, the Spurs stunk. Is Wemby a franchise player? Of course he is.
I was just going to say.
The Wizards are the worst team.
Wizards are the worst team. Jordan Poole, franchise player?
No, but what about
Kuzma?
No, who? Your boy. Who'd they take?
Avdija?
Sar.
Oh, Sar will be a franchise
Alex
player.
Alex Sar.
Yeah.
What about Trae Young? I know you like him.
I don't like him, but he's a franchise player.
Who's better on the Raptors than Scotty Barnes?
Who's on their roster?
Well, they got rid of Siakam, so.
Yeah, but they have another guy who's good. Oh, Van Vliet.
Yeah,
he's
gone.
Not with them anymore.
What about RJ? RJ Barrett?
Yeah.
Emmanuel Quickly?
Quickly. He's quickly becoming a franchise player.
Okay. No, right.
No, I hear you. No, I.
Well, it also
Barnes
it sounds
is
like,
their best player. I just don't think he's a franchise player. Is that possible?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Or like Franz Wagner just got maxed out too. I don't, you know. To me, it'd be Paolo. It'd be Banchero. But you know, so it's like for you, it's just more of a gut thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean,
I can respect that.
But there's a lot. You know, there are a lot of. I mean. You got to assess the guy, and I'll tell you right now, I mean, the one guy who's I'm puzzled by.
Kuminga?
Podziemski.
Oh, you think he's a franchise guy, huh?
They talk about him like he's a franchise player.
R-E-L-A-X.
They do.
Relax.
He's got the look. He's
they
got
do.
The feel. He also...
Yes.
Well, they sent him on a media circus this summer like he's the franchise player. I mean, everywhere I look, Brennan Podziemski's talking here. He's talking there. He's at the NBA Finals and press conferences. He's on Willard and Dibbs. He's in Paris. Pods has been everywhere.
R.J. Barrett wasn't even a franchise player at Duke. That's from the...
That's pretty good.
Zuki Maine, my man.
That's pretty good.
Uncle Loon on the text line, and I'm gonna buck this.
Okay.
Sar's giving me James Wiseman vibes. New.
Well, at this point, he was KG in his career.
Absolutely not.
Wiseman, what are you talking about, Steiny? He averaged 13-6 his rookie season.
Right.
Which has only happened, you know, one time in, I don't know,
Sar defends. Sar, at the very worst, is going to be a pretty good defensive player. Oh. Somebody agreeing with me, or are you just doing
they
that?
They haven't seen enough of Sar.
Chickering, you like him?
They don't know Sar.
Defensively, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Now, we're going to work on the 0-for-15.
Well, he is French. That's about all he can do at this point. All the French big men can defend.
Nobody even knows who Sarr is.
He's a Washington Wizard.
Like I said.
By the way, that reminds me. So when the NBA schedule came out, there was this article that I was reading in The Athletic about, you know, 35 matchups that we just, you have to watch, that are the most exciting in basketball.
Okay.
And so they were why are you already taking that tone?
There aren't that many good games.
No, but I'm going to lead you into a better laugh. Okay. So during this article, one of the categories was return games, or, you know, whoever's coming back home. Mm-hmm. So I saw that, you know, January umpteenth, whatever, Jordan Poole is coming back to Golden State. They also had a date that was circled, the Warriors and the Pacers, because who's coming back to Chase Center on the Indiana Pacers?
No chance.
James.
No chance.
Wiseman.
Okay.
Revenge game.
All right.
Book it.
Now, I don't like to do this.
What?
Are you serious?
It's one of the top 35 games of the season.
No, it's not.
Well, according to Zach Harper of The Athletic.
Oh, Zach.
Well-respected journalist.
Zach. Let me tell you a little trick of the trade. I guarantee you.
Do not let Wiseman go for 15 and 10.
He's got 35 games. I guarantee you, just because every team has a game.
I didn't get that far. I stopped reading after I saw the Warriors against the Pacers.
Listen, I'm just saying the Toronto Raptors have no games that are top 35.
But Houston Rockets, Fred VanVleet's coming back.
Van Vliet played for the Rockets last year.
That's what I'm saying. When Houston goes back to Toronto, it's another. If you can call Jordan Poole going back to Chase Center 2 years later a revenge game.
I don't even remember his game here last year.
Dude, he went like 8 for 24.
Great game then for him. he raised his shooting percentage that night. Anyway.
Shooting like Curry in the second half. I thought you were going to say something like that.
No. Curry's... I react to new information, and right now Curry's the best player on planet Earth.
He's a franchise player.
Yes, he is.
Would you be willing to admit that?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Nice little franchise player.
Draymond Green? Is he a franchise player? Let's start. Let's get people right. The answer is no. The answer is no. He's not a franchise player. Plain and simple.
Come on, man.
He's not.
Why put him
on any other team. Wake up. Let's quit being homers. Let's tell it like it is. He stinks.
There's a little preview of 2 months from now.
Michael.
Save it for October.
Michael in Palo Alto. What's up, Michael? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Had to jump in again.
Sure.
You know, so I know Prague and John get a lot of praise, rightfully so. I mean, you know, they've had a lot of hits, but a lot of people I don't think talk about the misses that I think have put the 49ers in this position. Javon Hargrave, in my opinion, last season was a disappointment. I don't think he had the impact that they wanted and we expected. He's set to make $28 million next season, $29 the season after. That's a huge cap number for a guy who's over 30 and isn't going to get much better. And, you know, as frustrated as I am with B.A., I would be looking down the line of all these cap hits the 49ers have over the next few seasons who haven't even come close to the impact that B.A. has had, and I'd be frustrated too.
Hmm.
And the 49ers started this season off behind the eight ball, Super Bowl loss, hangover, whatever you want to call it. Make a decision. I know they have a number that B.A. knows and the team knows of what he's not going to go under. Make a decision. You're already behind the eight ball. That's all I got to say.
Appreciate it. I mean, one of the reasons that Hargrave, it's obvious. I mean, he flourished in Philly with that coaching staff.
Oh, and Pittsburgh.
And he got to San Francisco, and they just didn't coach him up well enough. It's a staff issue.
Are you blaming Wilkes again? Do not go full Bosa on me. I mean, seriously. You sign your big contract, you get your money, you take the 49ers for everything, You have a down year and you blame it on your DC.
Hey, Mouth.
Hey.
Is Nick Bosa a franchise player?
Yeah, sure.
Gutless. Not if he has another year like last year.
I can see why Goo doesn't like that.
Doesn't like what?
You know what.
Oh, Mouth?
Your name calling.
He gets me back on it a lot.
He's been starting to use it more. I'm in favor of it.
Yeah, I laugh at it. It's all in good fun.
I got to just find something that really irks you.
It's not hard. I mean, it's not hard.
Well, no, it is hard right now because you're feeling yourself. It's on your down days that...
Oh, that's right. I almost forgot. I was right on the money about another thing yesterday.
It came
to fruition today.
Well, what? Jason Hayward got DFA'd?
He stinks.
Yeah, he just got DFA'd.
Thank you. You know what? I'll say it. I think he was one of the most overrated players I've ever been a part of.
Jason Hayward?
Yes.
Why?
Because he was supposed to be better than he ended up being. That's all I'm saying. He's a disappointment. I think his career was a disappointment.
He's played in the league for 15 years.
Never a star.
He's won gold gloves.
Everybody wins gold gloves in baseball.
That's not true.
Please. Please. Jim Cott won 19 of them. Look him up.
I bet Maddox has more.
Yeah, he probably does.
Yep.
Probably does. By the way, he's your hero, isn't it?
Who?
He's your hero.
Who?
Just admit it. Greg Maddux.
No,
he's your hero.
He's not my hero.
He's your favorite pitcher of all time.
He's not.
Yes, he is.
No, because...
You know what?
I hate to break it to you, Steiny.
No, he is. You've got something about Greg Maddux that you just are in love with.
Let me ask you this question. Hopefully we can get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
A basketball player that played like you.
Yeah.
Are they your hero?
No.
Case in point. So why would Maddux be my hero?
I mean, yes. Yeah.
Maddux is probably the closest thing I could aspire to being. Someone who throws slow and plays pitches for a long time.
According to my sources, he threw 95 early in his career.
Yeah, and then he realized he just didn't have it anymore. That was when he was in the minors with the Chicago Cubs. And then he started throwing 88, started dotting the corners, dotting the I's, crossing his T's, made himself into a nice little pitcher. No, who I wanted to be was Randy Johnson. Are you kidding me?
Are you a right-handed pitcher?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to be left-handed and throw 100.
You're right-handed and threw 85.
Exactly. That stinks.
Seriously,
I
what
don't
did you
be that guy?
What did you? And I love using this phrase.
What?
What'd you top out at?
85.
Yikes.
Yeah. Why do you think I was a Division III pitcher?
That doesn't even sound like Division III to me.
Well, neither does a white point guard.
Sounds like Williamsport.
Which, by the way, hold on.
I'm messing around.
Well, I mean, Williamsport is a place I almost got to early on in my career.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But we don't have to get down that road. You did have something, though, I thought was interesting when we were talking to Vernon Davis about, like, number one, just knowing about a guy, but also he did talk about how these holdouts or hold-ins, basically these extended contract negotiations do impact players, the impact, their relationship with their franchise, and the impact, the immediacy of when they start playing, and how buttoned up they actually are. Because I don't think, he didn't say it explicitly, but it doesn't sound like any of Vernon Davis's contract negotiations went this deep into the summer.
Right.
But he did admit that if they do, there's no chance that they can't have an impact on your year.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I heard.
Well, that should be concerning.
Listen, there's nobody that doesn't think the Niners can overcome this. Well, there may be some, but most people think that they'll be able to overcome this. But I think we all got to agree they're making it harder on themselves, the 49ers are. But Vernon just solidified something I said yesterday, which was people think that the reason some fans or critics don't give Brock Purdy the respect he deserves is because of A, he plays with Kyle Shanahan, and Shanahan's a great quarterback coach, and B, he plays with McCaffrey, and he's got so many weapons, and it's the system. I don't think that's the reason. I think the most important reason is that he's only played for a year and a half. And Vernon Davis said there's not enough data yet on Purdy. That's all. And I think there'll be a lot more data at the end of this year, which will allow the 49ers to decide what they want to offer him for a contract.
Yeah, but I also think that we've never seen any of that data without all of the pieces that you just described. So,
well, for three games, theoretically, we did when they didn't have Trent or Debo last year.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And I guess it didn't look very good. But that to me is also a small sample size, the way you're judging the first year and a half of his career.
I agree with that.
And I don't know. I mean, I would also like to think that this season, if it happens again, that he'll be better prepared for those situations. But, I mean, so I don't know. For example, like in Cleveland, it was proven then in the divisional round of the playoffs that Brock Purdy struggles to throw a wet ball. Like, right. He doesn't play well in conditions. Okay, so next time that happens, this season, I'm assuming it will at some point, will he have learned from that? Because one thing I don't think we give Brock Purdy enough credit for is that I don't see him making a lot of the same mistakes multiple times, like the same errors over and over and over again. I guess you could point to Christmas Day against the Ravens as one, but that to me was, he was just, I don't know, he ran into a team that had his number that night. But over the course of the year, I think he is a pretty smart guy, and he's able to put it in the memory banks and then go out there and correct. And that's also what I heard from someone like George Kittle this morning, who was on with the Morning Roast.
Well, the one thing I would say about Purdy is, like, you know, let's say he doesn't make the same mistake twice. Well, I would say the one thing, and maybe you should take a lesson from Brandon Pajemski.
Franchise player.
Do you know where I'm going here?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead. You think you know. Go ahead.
You're talking about the fact they took the hook shots out this year?
Correct.
Oh, count the bucket.
No, but there's an addendum to that. I'm making a point, and it's this.
Okay.
Like Brandon Pajemski is losing that hook shot, Brock Purdy must lose that throwing across the body, across the field, because to my way of thinking, that's the play where he's been really lucky over the course of his career. I think there could have been a lot more damage done than there actually was with those throws. He's got to lose those throws.
Like the one he threw in the preseason game this past weekend.
Yes.
Just a deep ball.
Now,
three flies up.
Now, what was the one last year? What was the game last year where he threw one of those? It was a touchdown, and Kyle Shanahan was like, caught it. I guess I got to live with it. But he did not like it.
There might have been. Was it the one to Ayuk in Jacksonville?
I think so.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he should not have thrown that ball.
Right. But he can't yell at him for that one.
Well, what about the one in the NFC Championship that the Lions guy refused to catch and Brandon Ayuk accepted?
Yeah. I mean, lose it.
That's how you end up with game-changing plays.
It's also how you end up without a contract after your third year. And that's how you end up not being a franchise quarterback.
You know what we need to do? We need to find a way to get you down to Santa Clara next year for the press conference where Brock Purdy signs the contract. Or his press conference after he signs the contract. I need you to see that in person.
Why?
Because it will officially mark him being a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I would say that.
No, I'm just joking.
I don't think he's not a franchise quarterback. I'm just saying, got to let it play out.
But, some of the best quarterbacks take risks. They take calculated risks.
Right.
And I think that also is something Purdy will get better at over the course of time because he's going to have more experience.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right there. Coming up in 5 minutes, we've got Brad Graham, SF Niners YouTube channel. We've had him on before, and that's why we're having him on again, because he's excellent, and he'll give us some good perspective on the Niners. He's down at every practice. He knows what's going on. And the San Francisco 49ers right now are set to play tomorrow night against the Las Vegas Raiders. See, that is an issue.
What is an issue?
You're part of it too, you guys in there.
This is radio.
Right. So what I'm trying to do, see, this is why the boss comes down my road. I'm trying to reset here a little bit.
There's a lot of reasons.
I glance up. And he's cackling. And he's not laughing at me. He's not laughing at me because I'm just doing a read. So why don't you tell me what was so funny?
What if I don't want to tell you what's so funny?
Then, as Guru would say, you're telling on yourself.
I'm going to withhold so new information.
No, you were laughing at me. Then.
No, I wasn't laughing at you. What? Not everything's about you, Steiny.
You know what? I understand that.
Just because you shot an 85 yesterday and you've been swinging well.
Talk about that at 130.
And you had a 20-foot putt. You're feeling yourself. You're rocking the mic today like you're Bob Dylan. And I can't have any more of it. So the fact that I was speaking down the line to my friend in the producer's studio, Carter Chickering, Ken's over there probably too. He should have heard it. The fact that I was discussing something has nothing to do with you.
Why are you discussing something with them when we're in the middle of a show?
Because you're resetting. It's time for, I can take a little quick time out.
How about this little nugget I found today?
You're watching TV right now.
No, I'm looking at the clock.
Which is right next to the television. And also Bonte Hill, one of our coworkers.
Now he is starting to annoy me. Here's a little nugget. It's because we're chock full of information. Mariners fired Scott Service, by the way.
Yeah.
Look for the Mariners to be extra fired up this weekend against the Giants.
Well, I should also look for Bob Melvin's seat to be kind of warm.
Did you read Baggerly's story today? Because if you did, you know all the numbers.
Well, I knew the numbers before. I didn't have to read this.
Okay.
I didn't have to read the story.
Okay. How many opportunities this year have the Giants had to sweep a series? How many opportunities have the Giants had to sweep a series?
Somewhere between 8 and 10.
10.
Thank you.
What is their record in games where they were going for a sweep?
2-8.
You read the story. That's fine. If that's the way you want to do it. Yeah, that's the kind of thing Guru does. That's fine. No, that's fine.
No, come on, Steiny.
That's fine.
It was an educated guess.
Hey, download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. That segment also brought to you by Floor and Decor. Brad Graham coming up next to talk Niners on 95.7 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.